and always streaming on the Civic Media
app. Mark Remillard. Despite Israel being a war zone, the Biden administration says the president will travel to Israel on Wednesday.
President Biden's trip to Israel is as much to assure its top Middle East ally, the U.S., is behind them, as it is to understand how much aid the U.S. should send. Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
The president will hear from Israel what it needs to defend its people as we continue to work with Congress to meet those needs.
No additional aid can pass until the U.S. House elects a new speaker, which could happen this week. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
Following his visit to Israel, Biden will head to Jordan to meet with Arab leaders. Authorities in Belgium say the suspect in a suspected terror attack has been shot dead by police after several hours on the run. Authorities say the suspect killed two Swedish nationals and was a suspected Tunisian extremist. A federal judge issuing a gag order on former President Trump, limiting what he can say about the election conspiracy case against him. This is ABC News. A man has broken his own world record for creating the hottest pepper.
Ed Curie, who crossbred and grew the Carolina Reaper that's hotter than most police pepper sprays, has created and grown Pepper X, greenish-yellow and named the hottest pepper in the world by the Guinness Book of World Records. The South Carolina hot pepper expert says when he first tried Pepper X, he felt the heat for 3 hours, then horrible cramps. He laid out flat for an hour in the rain, groaning in pain. Peppers also release endorphins and dopamine in the body. Curie shares his with medical researchers, hoping they might help cure disease and pain. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
California utility PG&E says it wants to bury many of its power lines in areas where there's a high risk of wildfires, but California regulators are balking at the plan in part because of its impact on rates. The company says it has an obligation to eliminate fire risk, while regulators say Californians are already paying some of the highest power rates in the country. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Timeout!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Attention high school sports fans, are you an armchair official? You know, the parent or fan who constantly yells at the referees and loves to let everyone know just how bad you think they are. Well, if you think you could do better, then get in the game and prove it. It's time for you to suit up and make the calls where they actually count. Every sport in Wisconsin needs more officials. Sign up today at highschoolofficials.com.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Go to civicmedia.us.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning and welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. Greg Bach is on the board and very excited to have our next guest join the show. Again, I was out the last time that you joined, Joe, and I heard it was just a great segment. He is the owner of McClear Law Office in Oshkosh. Joe McClear, thank you so much for joining the show. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me back. I'm doing just fine. Hope you guys are as well.
Absolutely. Now, Joe, if you can, just take a little time to explain what kind of law it is that you practice.
In general, people would just say I'm elder law. But it's essentially what we cover is anywhere from simple estate planning to long-term care, Medicaid planning, and special needs planning. So the type of law that everybody could benefit from in the long run, essentially. And it gives you the opportunity to actually come in and chat with an attorney in a time when you don't necessarily have to. You haven't gotten arrested. You're not getting divorced. You're not getting sued. Here you have the opportunity to come chat about what will be the inevitability for all of us. We all go someday. And for what would be most of us, a very likelihood of needing some long-term care in the future.
It's about looking ahead. It's about planning ahead. And it's about planning ahead for something, as you said, that is inevitable for all of us. But many of us just don't want to face our own mortality and end up putting things off until then it's too late. And then the people who have to deal with your estate are the ones left behind who then have to navigate in some instances what can be a really big mess.
Oh, without a doubt. And as it turns out, only about half of the people in this country bother setting anything up for their family. And so I encourage everyone to be in the happy and smart minority of things and actually put a plan together for everybody going forward. Because if you don't, there can be some big problems for your family after you're gone, for sure.
If you have questions for Joe, you want to make a comment, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Joe, what are some of the potential consequences if people do not plan ahead? What are some of the things that you have had to deal with or that you know of?
Well, I think you can there's countless bad things that can happen, but there are three big ones. The first one would be for young families. Now, that young doesn't mean necessarily the individual has to be young or the couple has to be young. Technically, right now, I would consider Al Pacino to be part of a young family. He has a new baby at 83. That's a young family, because what happens when you have minor children and you don't have anything in your will to say, all right, here's who we want to take care of our kids if something were to happen to both parents? Do you know what happens? Do you know who gets to pick?
No.
The judge.
The court.
The court, yeah. The court gets to decide. It doesn't automatically go to any member of the family. So it's completely this individual who you probably had never met in your life will be making this monumental life decision for your kids after you're gone. So you get to decide in advance, and you should. If you are old enough to have kids, you are old enough to put together a will to say, if anything were to happen to me and my spouse or the other parent, here's who we want to take care of our kids. If you don't, well, the judge is going to find out, and the judge is going to take nominations from pretty much anybody.
Anyway, really?
If you want to take care of these kids, raise your hand. And then if there's going to be a fight between this family and that family, this can go on for quite a while and could get pretty ugly.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
That really is terrifying.
I know that
in some cases, people actually put into their wills where their pets are going to go. You would think that children would take a little bit priority over where your pets are going to go.
Well, one would certainly hope so. So, yeah, this is not just for folks who are nearing the end of their life, obviously. It's for anybody can succumb to the slings and arrows of life at any point. And so particularly if you have somebody to take care of, like a baby at home. So Al Pacino, if you're listening, update your will, for crying out loud.
Thanks for the advice.
And call McClear Law Offices in Oshkosh.
If you live in Wisconsin.
If you live in Wisconsin. Yeah. Okay, so that's one bad consequence. What would be another one that people should be aware of?
So the term that we use in the law is blended family, where you have children coming in from prior relationships, coming into a marriage. Now, this doesn't apply to my family. I did not grow up in a blended family. My wife did. Her folks split when she was very young, and they each remarried. So she had two families, two sets of parents for her entire life. Now, I know for a fact that they've taken care of their estate plan, but if they had not, whether or not my wife would actually inherit from their parents would all depend on who dies first. And that's it. If her birth parents pass away first, then she's not going to inherit anything, because then it all flows to the survivor, the step parent. And the step parent, if they didn't do any planning, it does not go to the stepchildren unless they're legally adopted, which doesn't happen in many cases.
Right.
So if you have a blended family, and you say, well, I want to make sure that my kids don't get cut out, even if my now spouse survives me, then you got to have a plan in place, because otherwise you could bring one child into the marriage. You could bring five children into the marriage, particularly people who get married later in life. If you have a golden bachelor situation where if you have families and you get married again when you're a senior, well, if you don't have the right planning, then the children that you bring into the relationship, doesn't matter what you've built up to that point, may be cut off with nothing.
That seems really critical.
I would say so, yes. And so another thing, kids, you get an estate plan. Married, particularly second marriage, you get an estate plan, without a doubt.
Joe McClear is our guest. He is in law offices in Oshkosh, McClear Law Offices, dealing in elder and estate law planning. We're talking about if you do not make plans, if you do not make arrangements, what are some of the bad consequences that can fall on the people who are left behind? So you said there were three, Joe. What's the third one that we should know about?
Yeah, this is just three out of many. But the third one would be the idea that, oh, I'm never going to need long-term care. We've talked about it last time, that long-term care right now is over $10,000 a month if you need the extensive care in a nursing home. We talked about if someone like Greg needs it in 30 years, it's going to be over double that. Okay. So what's going to wipe you out almost completely? If you have certain things that you would just, you know, lose your mind, if your family would be crushed if you lost it. I'm talking about family cabins that have been passed down from generation to generation, family farms, family hunting land. These types of things, they're going to be on the chopping block. They're going to have to be liquidated and spent down. And it doesn't matter, you know, oh, but this family farm's been in my family since the turn of last century. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It's going to have to be liquidated and sold if you don't do any advanced planning. Here's one thing that people should know, that if you're married, the rules are more liberal in terms of what you're allowed to keep. But the idea, if you had done, say, a prenuptial agreement saying, hey, everything over here is mine, everything over there is my spouse. So if my spouse needs long-term care, they're not going to be able to touch my stuff. That's not the case in this state. If you are married, even if you are estranged, if you're legally married and you haven't talked to your spouse in 10 years, it doesn't matter. They're going to look at the combined assets of that marital relationship, and they're going to determine whether or not you're going to be eligible, and they're going to determine what's going to have to be spent down in order to get the care you need. So if you don't plan in advance, and I don't necessarily think that somebody in their 30s or in their 40s necessarily needs to really jump, run out and plan for long-term care. It might be a good idea to look at insurance options, which I often say are the first line of defense when it comes down to long-term care costs. But once you get into your later 50s and in your 60s, and as you're approaching 70, then if you hadn't had anything in line at that point, you really need to put a plan in place because, as I mentioned last time, it's right the age of 75 when people start on average going into facilities. So I would say late 60s, you want to have a good couple of years in front of you where you're planning in place. If there's something that you just couldn't bear the thought of losing for your family, you got to put it in place. Because as I said, it's going to be about a 7 out of 10 chance that if you're over 65, that you're going to need some form of long-term care.
Well, and we were just talking last week, Joe, about Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith have been separated for the last 7 years and they're not divorced. So there are people who are separated for many, 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 many years and never get divorced. And I would, what you just said is a thunderbolt to me.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you've been separated for all of these years and your ex goes into a facility for long-term care, you're going to be on the hook for that, right?
Exactly. Yeah, you are going to be on the hook, and I hope Will doesn't slap me for talking about him like this, but I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Just don't say her name.
Just
he'll be fine
her
then.
Name. Yeah,
I won't. Okay. So that's absolutely true. And so if you have, if you just never get legally divorced and you just split up, you can, you know, accumulate all of these assets and say, okay, I'm married, but not really. It doesn't matter. You could be on the hook for the long-term care expenses of your estranged spouse, at least in this state. And if they don't get it from you while you're alive, they're going to come after your estate after you pass on. So you think, well, I'm going to leave everything to my kids. Well, if your estranged spouse was in the nursing home for a couple of years, it could be sucked up by the estate recovery program in this state.
Yeah, just because you want them to go away and not be on the face of the planet doesn't mean they're actually not on the face of the planet once you split up, right?
No, no. And indeed, they're going to be there lurking in the background.
If you have a question for Joe, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Greg, go ahead.
Joe, I had a question. My wife and I, we are, you know, we don't have children. We're in our mid-40s. I guess, you know, and but we do take the planning seriously, and we want to start talking about it in the new year. What is a path for us as far as what we should be doing?
Well, the most common legal answer, no matter the area of the law, is it depends. Okay. It really depends on what you want to do.
Yeah.
If you have things that you want to support, so you don't have children, but if you have other family members that you want to take care of, if you have charities that you want to take care of, for someone like you, I would say you have a litany of options in front of you. You could have a will-based plan. You have a trust-based plan. You set up your beneficiaries to take care of everything. But no matter what, you're at least going to want to have your powers of attorney in place if you don't.
We are coming up against the break. We will be right back with your calls and your questions. 844-967-2789. Our guest is attorney Joe McClear. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You're listening on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It can happen to anyone. You're on vacation and the sump pump fails. Heavy rain seeps through your foundation and into your finished basement. A candle gets knocked over and a fire starts. Cleaning and repairing the damage from these events can be overwhelming. That's why Midwest Restoration is here for you. They are absolute experts at coming in and taking care of everything that needs to be done. For them, it's not just a job. It's personal, dedicated to lending a hand during your time of need. 24/7, 365. Call 920-MIDWEST. That's 920-MIDWEST.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out!
What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies, overnight with a low of 38. Winds out of the north, around 5 miles an hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 56. Partly cloudy again. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 44. Low 60s Wednesday with a chance for scattered rain showers. Cooler Thursday with highs in the upper 50s. Showers continue. To recap, low of 39 overnight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 38.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Currently, it's 46 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinair in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach on the board. Our guest is elder and estate law planning attorney Joe McClear with McClear Law Offices in Oshkosh. If you have a comment or a question for Joe, 844-967-2789. You can call and or text. We have Chris on the line from Sun Prairie. Good morning, Chris.
Make a statement.
Go ahead, Chris.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Chris.
Hi. Yeah. I just want to make a statement about the estate recovery program. I really believe that, you know, people that are getting their money clawed back by the program are people that actually benefited from the program. So if they're taking it out of your estate, it's because you already used those funds and they need those funds for the next person that's coming along. I know a lot of people don't like that point of view, but it is true. It's not like the estate's just coming along and taking something that wasn't already used for your family member. So, you know, it's a different point of view, I know. I think that we really need to go about this a little differently, and maybe we should just fund health care better and have better funding for long-term care so that people don't go broke with it. You know, that way we wouldn't have to, like, be doing this stuff to people and going and, you know, taking houses or whatever. But that's just my two cents. I believe the estate recovery program is a good program because we've got to pay for the next person that comes along.
No, you make a good point, Chris. You really do.
I agree.
That's a very valid point, and I think we could all agree that our healthcare system is a mess and the way we pay for our healthcare is a mess and people should not be going bankrupt just because you get sick. But whether or not that's going to happen, I don't know. This is more about just trying to protect yourself and to make sure that you're not left out in the, you know, just swinging in the breeze, right, Joe?
No, I agree. And that's a, you know, great point. Thank you for making that. It's I have no qualms with the estate recovery program. I think it's a very underfunded and under they don't have enough people working there. They don't have enough funds to get everything that they need to recover back that which is owed to them, or at least they're legally entitled to. I agree that our healthcare system, particularly our long-term care system, stinks in this state. The Medicaid reimbursement rate is paltry. Facilities are going under because of that. Many of them have to stop taking Medicaid because they can't keep the lights on. So we absolutely, right now, considering that right now the boomers are the ones who are aging into this population who are needing care, and the top, it's so top heavy right now that if we don't look into more properly funding this, then our ability to have care for folks, at least decent care, at least care that's not 5 hours away, it's going to be jeopardized.
Yeah.
So absolutely. The estate recovery program is 100% a key part of that.
We have a whole bunch of calls lined up, Joe. Is there any chance you could stay for the second another segment?
Oh, sure.
Oh, great.
Sure.
Tom from Grafton is on the line. Good morning, Tom. Did you have a question for Joe?
Yeah, I have two questions. Is it cheaper to do an estate plan for a single person? And also, if I was to drive up and meet you people, you're up in Oshkosh, how much would I spend to set something up, do you think?
All right. Generally, I can only speak in generalities. Yeah, generally, it's less costly for a single individual to plan than a married couple. It's not. It's usually not too far off, but there's more work involved with a married couple. And me, like most folks who primarily work in estate and elder law, it's first meeting's no charge. Not everybody does that, but most folks will say, okay, first meeting's no charge. You come up and then we talk about your options, which could be one of many, and we'll say, all right, well, it's going to be about this. You go home and think about it, or you say, okay, here we go. It's up to you.
Thanks for the call, Tom. I think you should set up a satellite office here, Joe.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Down there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Southeast Wisconsin, for sure. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, if you have a question or a comment for Joe. Ross from Crawford County is on the line. Good morning, Ross.
Hi, good morning, you guys. I think I might know the answer after having listened, but I wanted to clarify. Does a person go to a lawyer, or does one go to a financial planner, or is it sort of like a specialty referred to as estate planning?
Well, I would say both. Ideally, everyone has a good team of professionals at their disposal. It's going to be working with a lawyer, you have an attorney, a financial planner, an insurance agent as well, to really couple this all together to make sure that, one, that your estate's going to work the way you want it to do with the best tax consequences, and two, if you are concerned about long-term care, that you have everything set up correctly, and that's going to involve all three phases, actually.
Did that answer your question, Ross?
It does, yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thanks for calling.
We have a whole bunch more people lined up on the phone. Please don't hang up. We are coming up against the bottom of the hour break. Joe has graciously accepted. He's going to stick around for another break. If you have more questions for Joe, again, 844-967-2789. When we come back, Joe, I want to ask you to explain the difference between a trust and a will, and which supersedes what, and what's better to have. Should everybody have one or both? We'll try and get some of that stuff straightened out when we come back next. Taking your comments and your calls, stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin, and you are listening on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Despite Israel being a war zone, the Biden administration says the president will travel to Israel on Wednesday.
President Biden's trip to Israel is as much to assure its top Middle East ally, the U.S., is behind them, as it is to understand how much aid the U.S. should send. Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
The president will hear from Israel what it needs to defend its people as we continue to work with Congress to meet those needs.
No additional aid can pass until the U.S. House elects a new speaker, which could happen this week. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
Following his visit to Israel, Biden will head to Jordan to meet with Arab leaders. Authorities in Belgium say the suspect in a suspected terror attack has been shot dead by police after several hours on the run. Authorities say the suspect killed two Swedish nationals and was a suspected Tunisian extremist. A federal judge issuing a gag order on former President Trump, limiting what he can say about the election conspiracy case against him. This is ABC News.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Here comes the sun, and I say it's all right.
Wisconsin, Jane Matinere, in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. And our guest is attorney Jill McClear with McClear Law Offices in Oshkosh, talking specifically about estate planning, setting up plans for elderly relatives. And I wanted to have you on in fall, Joe, because Thanksgiving is next month and people are going to be sitting around the table with their elderly relatives. And I think that's a really good time to maybe broach some of these things to make sure that people are making plans, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a tough conversation to have, but it's good to have those few minutes of awkwardness, maybe a little bit of silence, staring at each other. But what's the alternative?
Right.
To not do anything? It's really just going to come back to bite you if you don't. It's a good time for doing that.
844-967-2789. If you have a question for Joe, you can call or text. David from California, thanks for hanging on through the break. David, what do you want to ask Joe?
Well, it was more of a suggestion, a way to improve everybody's credit rating post-Trump. So in other words, if there's a lot of real estate deals that were done in New York, listeners, you know, somewhere in the listening area, have business deals with Trump in New York, all of a sudden Trump's business ability in New York is yanked. And so what's that do to the credit rating of Wisconsin, Illinois, Texas, all of his supporters doing business with a known crook?
David,
all of a sudden.
David, I don't know that that's Joe's area of expertise, but thank you so much for calling.
Thanks.
Joe really focuses on estate planning and is setting up plans for elderly relatives and trusts and wills and things like that. So that might be.
It's good to know that you guys are reaching California, though, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, that's fabulous.
Coast to coast.
I think that one's already taken there, Joe. I think that name's already taken.
Tony from Kenosha has also been waiting. Good morning, Tony. What did you want to ask Joe?
Do you have a question, Tony?
Yes, we do. We have a revocable trust with my daughter and granddaughter, with a new granddaughter named in it. And I was just wondering if something happens to the daughter and the granddaughter is still a minor, how is that handled? Are we at the mercy of the father, or can we put something language in there that it all goes to the granddaughter?
No, it's a very good question. You know, when it comes down to the backup planning, oh my God, we hope this doesn't happen, but we better plan for it. You can handle that yourself. Your plan should be relatively thick, and about 2/3 of it should be hopefully a waste of paper and ink covering the what happens here. So if your daughter were to predecease you, God forbid, you can determine what happens to it. If you want to take care of your granddaughter for sure, and you do not have to have her at the mercy of the father. You can say, all right, well, this is all going to go down to our granddaughter, but until she reaches a, you know, seasoned age, mid-20s or so, it's going to be held by this person over here who we do trust, or this bank or this trust company. You can determine that well in advance. And when you have a revocable trust, you make adjustments as, you know, the time progresses on. So if your daughter does unfortunately predecease you, that would be a time for to come in and make adjustments to your plan right there.
Does that answer your question, Tony?
Yeah. So Jen, I just make an amendment to the trust then.
You absolutely can. Yeah. The thing about revocable trusts is they are easy to change. Nothing set in stone. Something happens, you make yourself an amendment or restate the trust and get everything aligned with what's good for you at that point.
Thanks for the call, Tony. Have a great
day. Thanks, Tony.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Greg, you said you had a question.
Well, actually more of just something that as a son, my mother has a trust, and I have a friend who is going through the loss of a relative, and watching them go through it is making me become very, very proactive in what I know about my mother's trust and making sure I have everything available to my, like the other day I called her, I said, I need keys and I need the codes of your house. I need, because it's not just about what's in the book, and like you said, like her trust is a very thick book, but it's also about the forces around you. Like, you know, she owns property, but she lives on a condo a place that has condos. I can't think of that word, but I just want to make sure that no one's going to be coming to me saying, well, you don't have this, so you can't get in here. And you know what I mean? Like making sure you're totally covered, is part of that experience.
So that means, Joe, everybody involved needs to have copies of these documents, right?
It's not necessary for everybody involved to have copies of these documents. It all depends. I mean, you're certainly welcome to share your estate plan with your children and your family. I always say you keep it in a safe place, but not so safe that you're the only person who could ever get to it realistically.
Okay. Right.
Make sure that your family, the people who are going to be helping you out, can access it with relative ease. Now, that depends on, do you own your home? Do you rent? If you rent an apartment, then it can get a little dicey. If you are, if all of a sudden your documents are in there and your adult children don't have access to your apartment, it could be tough for them to get in. If you put it in a safety deposit box, which some people do, you got to let your bank know in advance. By the way, these folks, this list of names here, they can get into this box whenever they want, because getting into an argument with a bank after the fact, just to try to get what's in there. It could be nothing, but we got to know. That can be very, very time consuming and expensive.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. I mean, what would you have to provide to the bank in order for them to grant you access?
Yeah,
it most likely a death certificate and your ID if they took care of it correctly.
Yeah, but anybody can come on with a death certificate and ID. How do they know that that person can access this safety deposit box?
Right. It can certainly be a mess if you don't pre-plan ahead. Some banks, I can't speak for all banks, will say, all right, well, if you provide a death certificate and provide proof that you are a relative, we will be there in the room to open the box to see if there's a will in there. Okay, but you can't look and see what else is in there. We'll see if there's a will, if there's a trust or some sort of documents in there, but that's all we're going to give you. And if I can't say every bank's going to do that for you, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I know for my mom's experience, she has a copy at her house. It's not locked up. But there's also a copy with her financial advisor who helps set up the actual plan. So when the day comes, we just have to make a phone call and we are provided the information.
Well, and it just
usually that's how it works too. Yeah. I mean, most attorneys will keep a copy of everything that they produce, at least for a while. So if you can't find the original copy, but you happen to know which law firm they worked with, give them a call. They probably have a copy.
And what Greg said made me think too, Joe, what about passwords? You know, passwords for your email, passwords for your bank accounts, passwords for if you don't have that all documented somewhere for the trustee or the heirs, you're kind of leaving them with a mess there too, right?
Yeah, there are certain distributions. There's a book called I'm Dead, Now What? For example.
I love where that.
It's basically you fill this thing out and it says, okay, here's all the information my family needs to know. Who should they contact? Who are the professionals I work with? And what are my passwords? That is a big thing. And a lot of folks write it down for their own sake because they forget their own passwords half the time. So that's usually an extra document that's provided that would say, okay, this is very, very key, particularly if you're of a type of person that uses the computer a lot to access these accounts, to shut down your social media sites and whatnot. Very, very important to have that handy for your family.
And what is that document called again?
It's a book, and I don't think the title is copyrighted because I've seen it on several different publications. It's called I'm Dead, Now What?
I'm Dead, Now What?
Yeah, and if you look it up on Amazon, you'll find dozens of similar books that you can order up and fill out. I usually buy them by the box full and hand them out to my clients.
That sounds really useful. It really does. Joe McClear is our guest. He is an attorney with a law office in Oshkosh, and we're talking about estate planning and wills and how to make sure you are protected and how to make sure your relatives are protected. A texter from the 608 Joe says, can you will a property you don't live in to a nephew?
Do you own it? If you own it, sure.
I have to imagine,
If you don't own it, I'm going to will the Brooklyn Bridge to somebody.
Yeah, as long as you own it, right? And you have the property title and that stuff. Yeah, that mm-hmm. comes under your estate, correct?
Yes, but of course, if you co-own it with somebody, then it will depend on how you co-own that property. If you own it jointly, no. If you own it as tenants in common, then you can at least will your interest to somebody else.
Okay.
So, yeah, it depends. If you own it outright, absolutely.
And a text from the 541, my parents' house was destroyed by fire a few years ago. Do you retain a copy as the attorney of record of your client's wills, trusts? And you kind of said before, Joe, that most attorneys will keep records, but how long they keep them is entirely up to the law firm, correct?
Yeah, it's completely up to the firm. It's not an obligation to keep anything. I mean, most will. Just as a matter of course, a copy of almost every legal document is as good as the original, except for a will. A will copy can be used, but you got to prove to the court saying there's no way we're going to find the original. If the court says, hey, you haven't looked enough, they're going to make you go out and run around and try to find the original. You got to be able to prove to the court satisfaction that the original is never going to be recovered. But other than that, a copy of a power of attorney document, a copy of a trust, those are inevitably going to be just as good as the original.
But don't copies lack a raised notary seal? Is that an issue?
Well, You actually, the seal doesn't need to be raised. Like mine is just a stamp. Say it right here.
Okay? Oh, really? So it's not the stamp. It's not the squid. Yeah. The
you so can have you can have the embossed version.
Yeah.
Or you can just have a stamp as a notary. I used to be a notary.
Yeah.
I want to be one again. I loved it. I loved it.
Really?
Yes.
That's
you know how a lawyer becomes a notary in this state?
Graduate from law school.
The check clears.
Hey,
that's it. I'm a notary for life. It says permanent on here.
Yep.
You can't take that away from me.
All right.
It's one of my greatest thing that ever happened to me.
844-967-2789. We've only got a couple more minutes with Joe, about 3 minutes. In our last segment, and we were to do this earlier, but we had so many calls lined up. Greg was at a wedding in Texas over the weekend. Basically, the greatest wedding ever.
The greatest wedding ever.
The greatest wedding ever held. So we're looking for stories about great weddings that you have been to. And Joe, you said you had one that you wanted to share.
Well, I just want to say that I've gotten one black eye in my entire life. And it came 36 hours before I got married.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. Yeah. So the big ring was there. I got, you know, I went to a beauty salon to get it makeuped over. And so it was there in certain pictures. You could say, what's going on with his eye? It's halfway closed.
Did she punch you before the wedding? Is that what happened?
No. It was my best man. He headbutted me. It seemed like a good idea at the time. That's all I could say.
Joe.
Oh my God, Joe.
Did she just want to?
But take advice from me. Hey-o.
This was before I entered this area of the law, we'll say. Okay, I've grown then. That was in my 20s.
It was a different time. It was a.
It made a great story during the honeymoon, and I got a whole bunch of free wine just by telling that story.
I bet you did. That's great. Well, we will be taking your great wedding stories after the break. Joe McClear, such a pleasure to have you on. If you have questions for Joe, you can reach out to him. We will have his contact information in the show notes once the podcasts are up, and you can find Joe McClear, McClear Law Offices in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I hope to have you back the next time you can make time for us. I promise we won't take an entire hour of your time, but there was just really a lot of interest in it, and I think people just have, we have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
People
so
just
popular,
have a lot of
Jim
questions.
So popular, Jim McClear. So popular.
By the way, everybody who called in, I will be sending you a bill.
Yeah.
You can't find them. All right, Joe McClear, we will let you go. Thank you so much again for joining us. Have a wonderful day and stay close. Your greatest wedding ever held stories coming up right after the break. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Mm-hmm.
Here's your updated forecast. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with highs around 56. Winds out of the northwest, around 5 miles an hour. Lows level off around 44. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 63. Cloudy skies expected. Turning cooler Thursday and Friday, with highs from the mid-50s to the upper 50s. Scattered showers possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 39.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Currently, it's 46 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM.
Goes Wisconsin. Jane Bett there in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board, and we are always loving hearing from you at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY if you want to call and or text. And thank you so much to Joe McClear from McClear Law Offices in Oshkosh for staying with us for three segments this morning. But Greg, I just think it's something that's so relatable, and especially if you are of a certain age or your parents are of a certain age. There are just a lot of questions people have about the right thing to do in planning, so you're protected.
I mean, honestly, when you think about it, I don't disagree with you. I think you're 100% right. And I think one of the other things to think about is, all right, real estate, law planning. By the way, that guy on the call, he said he had a question. He was a total fibber.
I think he was listening to a different program.
Yeah, right.
I'm not quite sure what he was going after there.
But you starting to think about, what are all the other things that we need to think about, plan about, that we don't? So maybe that's something we talk about, and maybe we find some experts who can help us out, because Joe is great.
Joe is wonderful.
And maybe there are just other corners of life where, like, I didn't even think about planning for X, and we find an expert who can help us and open our eyes a little. Because the thing is, for me, is it's not that I don't think about it, it's just that I only have so many hours on the day.
I know.
So it's like, all right, I got to sit down. Like you told Bridget, next year we got to sit down and carve out a plan, because we're both young, we're healthy, and that's the best time to do it.
Absolutely. That is the best time to do it. And I did look for that book that he mentioned, I'm Dead, Now What? And you can find it anywhere from $13 to $6 to help you, again, go through some basic planning steps for what you need to do moving forward. Yeah. Anyway, you were in Texas over the weekend for a wedding. How'd it go?
Oh, my God. I went to the greatest wedding ever.
Why was it so wonderful?
This wedding spoke to me as a 45-year-old man. A person, doesn't matter. Gender doesn't matter. The wedding, so the two people, so it was my very dear friend, like a sister to me. My friend Terry got married to her now husband, Tom. And they're both in their 50s. And their wedding started at 11 a.m.
Okay.
It was done by noon.
Wow.
The reception was at 1. We were done by 5. I was back at the hotel by 5:30.
In your pajamas.
My pajamas. It was the greatest day of my life. Take note, people. I mean, honestly, really, when it comes down to it, there's no rule that says that we have to have these later weddings and partying until midnight.
Right.
Why not have a beautiful wedding where the end of it is the sunset?
I like that.
I mean, then you have the rest of your night, and people, you know, midnight's so late.
It is. Well, and the whole, and I don't know if they still do this, but when I was, you know, graduating from high school and I had friends who were getting married at that point, the wedding party would go bar hopping for like 3.5 hours before going to the reception.
Oh, I have another story about that.
That's
one.
That was a bad tradition. That was not a good tradition at all. Yes, let's go drink. The wedding's at 10:30. Ceremony takes an hour. Then there's pictures. Then send the bridal party off to go drinking for several hours before finally getting to the reception and then drinking some more. We were taking calls about your great wedding stories, 844-967-2789. Greg just went to one that was wonderful because it started at 11 and he was back in the hotel by 5 o'clock. So short, brief, to the point. I can think of lots of bad wedding stories, including one where it was an outdoor wedding and they had a judge officiating and it was in the middle of July and it was outside without any cover. And the officiant, who was a judge, would not stop talking. I thought the groomsmen were going to start passing out because it was so hot, Greg.
Yeah.
It was so hot.
How hot was it?
It was so hot. There were groomsmen melting in their tuxes. It was unbelievable. But I love that. Did they do a church? Was this a church service?
Oh, yes, very much. It was a Catholic church.
No kidding.
One of the only Catholic churches in Dallas.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's not a very Catholic town.
Town, I suppose, very Baptist.
Oh, yeah. I went to a wedding once where it was this thing where they got married, and then it was like a 4.5 hour break between, because they had to do, like, they went and did pictures.
Right.
And the groom and all of his groomsmen were like avid partiers, like drinkers. And the bride to be said, if you come to this wedding drunk, or you come to this reception drunk, I'm going to be very upset. Like, it's going to end poorly for you and your friends. Well, they all showed up on time. All the men showed up all nice and all crisp in their suits and ready to go. And all of a sudden we're like, where was the rest of the party? They were at a bar next door and the bride was hammered.
The bride?
Hammered. And I know that for a fact because my cousin was standing up in that wedding. And at one point my uncle was there too. And he goes, where's the speech? And his daughter, my cousin, goes, shut up. Like, no, we got to have a speech, don't we? Oh my God. It was so funny. They were so drunk.
I think that's a shame. I really do. I had a friend whose husband showed up to the reception just annihilated.
Yeah,
and as much as we, you know, I like to party and I partied plenty over my lifetime, but that's just as bad form. I just think it's not only rude to your bride or your groom, it's rude to your guests. And if you want to tie a good one on, maybe wait a day. But when you outlay that much money, that's just bad form, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, also, it's just not fun. Like, there was no point, there was no way at my wedding I was going to get drunk. There was no way, I think I drank half a drink the whole night.
Well, you can't interact with anyone. You can't, I mean, being, that level of intoxication is just a little bit too much. All right, we have Troy on the line from Mount Horror, but we only have a couple minutes left. Troy, good morning. What do you want to say?
Hi, we got married this weekend at a funeral home.
You got married this weekend at a funeral home?
Yes. My new wife's dad works for the funeral company around Madison, one of the funeral companies, and they have bought one of her funeral homes is an old restaurant. So he said, you know, we've had a couple of employee weddings here. You guys want to get married there? So we got cheap, you know, the cheap place for it. And we had a wedding in the funeral parlor area. And the reception was in what looked like the restaurant area. And
oh, Troy.
It was actually really cool.
That is hilarious. Congratulations. Many, many, many happy years to you and your wife. Thank you so much for joining us today on As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you, Greg Bach. Thank you, Todd Alba. Thank you, Joe McClear. And thank you most of all to you for listening, for texting, for calling. Truly, without you, we are nothing. Stick around. The news is coming up next, followed by Town Call with William Walters. Have a wonderful day. Join us again tomorrow starting at 10 a.m. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy.
so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming ABC on the News, Civic Media.